In natizit observationibus ad libem sacramentum Gregoriae, p. 287. It has always been forbidden to subdeacons to administer the Eucharist to the people either under the appearance of bread or under the appearance of wine, according to Canon 25 of Laodicea. See the notes on this canon by Balsamon, Zonaras and Arisenius in Beverages, Volume 1, p. 464. But this was not the case with deacons, who of old were particularly entrusted with the sole distribution of the Lord's blood. Later this privilege was taken from them on account of certain abuses which had developed, Cotelerius Constitutionum, Qui Apostolicae Decuntia, Volume 1, on B.K. 8, Chap. 13. 43. Now the congregations which met under Urban VIII, as well as those during our pontificate, carefully examined the question of whether the oblation by the deacons at the prothesis should be abolished. The congregation held on January 3, 1745, issued a directive that no innovations should be made, and we gave this directive our approval. For the reasons in favor of this rite adduced by Cardinal Bonner seemed stronger and weightier than those assembled by Arcadius for its abolition. So in the new edition of the Eucologion, the rite of oblation by the deacon remains unchanged. Although this rite is not mentioned in the statement of the second admonition which we have hitherto discussed, we still thought it proper to enter a little on the subject here. For not only is it one of the sacred actions which are performed at the prothesis to which we have directed the foregoing remarks, but we also avail ourselves of every occasion to assure you that the Roman Church is not at all hostile to your rites. Rather, it makes every effort to preserve them unchanged when they contain no error or disgrace. Third admonition, sacrament of extreme unction. 44. We come now to the third admonition, which consists of two parts and is expressed as follows. The priests should remember that the sacrament of holy oil, called deutelion, was instituted by Christ as a heavenly medicine for the health of the body as well as that of the soul. Accordingly, it is to be given only to the sick at the time they desire it and while they are still in possession of their faculties. So coming with faith and a devout will to be anointed with the holy oil, they will receive additional grace from the sacrament. Likewise, it must be understood that although bishops of the Oriental Church customarily use many spices in preparing the sacred chrism, only oil and balm are required. Then with these, in accordance with the ancient custom of the Oriental Church, other spices may rightly be mixed if they are available. But if some are lacking, since they are not required, the holy chrism may duly be prepared with only oil and balm. 45. This sacrament is called extreme unction by both the Latins and the Greeks. At the Second General Council of Lyons convened by the leaders of East and West in 1274, Latins and Greeks approved and signed a statement of faith, Hard Euin, Collect. Volume 7, p. 695. The Greeks also called this sacrament the oil consecrated and sanctified by the prayers of priests, and the perfecting or fulfillment of the sacrament of penance. It is named deutelion in the Eucologion of Gorius, p. 346, no. 42 and p. 349, no. 1. The same name is used by writers of the next generation as can be seen in Georgus Pachymer's Hist. Palliol. B.K. 6, Chap. 32, and Pausanias uses the same name in B.K. 1 close. P. 386 in Gabriel Philadelphius de Sacramento Euclae and Acta Ecclesiae Orientalis, Volume 1, p. 338. Moreover, the Greeks sometimes call this sacrament heptapapadum. At the synod in Constantinople which met under Patriarch Giovanni Vecos in 1277, the Patriarch accepted the confession of faith agreed upon at the Council of Lyons. He wrote to the Roman Pontiff John XXXII, that, we also accept extreme unction as we accept the other sacraments. It is named heptapapadum from our way of conferring it, that is, the service of seven priests, since the Greeks administer the sacrament in this way. 46. We shall not speak in this letter of the institution of this sacrament by Christ or of its effect. Nor shall we deal with the rules to be observed in administering it, namely that it should be conferred not on those who are in good health but only on the faithful who are seriously ill while they are still fully conscious. We shall not treat, either, of certain rites of the Greek Church, such as the blessing of the oil of the sick by a priest and not only by a bishop as is the Latin practice, or the administering of the sacrament of extreme unction by many priests rather than by one only. For we have given a detailed account of all these matters in our treatise De Synodo Diocesan, B.K. 8, Chaps. 1-8 of the latest edition. But simply to cast light on the first part of the third admonition, we would add that both in the time of Urban VIII and in the earlier years of our pontificate a lengthy dispute took place concerning whether words should be struck from the Greek eucologion, which apparently suggested that it was permissible to confer this sacrament even on those in good health. In the assembly on September 3, 1747, the congregation decided that no changes should be made in the text, but that necessary points of observance should be mentioned in an admonition placed at the start of the eucologion. We then approved this decision. This has been done in the words quoted above, which warn Greek priests not to confer the sacrament of extreme unction on those in good health, but only on those who are seriously ill. There was clearly no need to alter the text of the eucologion at this point, since the words could be interpreted correctly. For it does not state that the sacrament may be conferred on those in good health, but that persons who come to the church may also be anointed. This can be easily understood of those who, though grievously ill, are still able either to walk to the church or to be brought there by the assistance of others to ask for the sacrament of extreme unction. Examples of this kind can be found even in the Western churches, can be seen in Martin, De Antiqui Ecclesiae Ritibus, B.K. 2, Chaps. 7, Art. 2, No. 7-8, and in Mobilon's preface to the first century in Acta Sanctorum Ordinis Benedictini, seconds. 9, No. 101.47. The two following points are to be noticed in connection with the first part of the third admonition. First, even though the Greeks have been clearly forbidden to confer the sacrament of extreme unction on any but the seriously ill, they have not been prohibited from anointing sick or possessed people with the oil of the lamp, which is kept in the church, as well as others who ask for it either out of devotion or for deliverance from some affliction. For the oil which is kept in the lamp was not consecrated by the bishop or priest for use in administering extreme unction. We are well aware that the request has previously been made for permission for the Greeks to be anointed with the oil of extreme unction in cases other than serious illness without the sacramental form being spoken by the priest. They of course reasoned that the sacrament is conferred not by the mere application of the matter, but necessarily requires that the form be pronounced at the same time. But this request was not acceptable, since we can never permit the sacrament established by Christ to be converted into any whimsical ceremony, even if it is a pious one. This is rightly observed by Father De Carbonino in his Appendix A Tractatum P. Antwanda Extremer Unctioni, Sect. 4, p. 661. Despite the affirmation of Quintiduenas that parish clergy may send the holy oil of the sick upon request to the ill and others in order that they may anoint themselves in their sickness, Treatise 5, Der Extreme Unctioni, Sing. 11, anyone who attempts to do this is punished with heavy penalties by the ecclesiastical tribunal, either for misuse of a sacrament of the church or being under suspicion of unorthodox belief concerning the sacrament, as Clericatus aptly remarks. The Savamento Extreme Unction is, Sect. 70, No. 32. 48. Furthermore, since it is forbidden to administer the sacrament of extreme unction except in a case of serious illness, a penitent may no means be obliged to receive anointing with oil of extreme unction as penance or satisfaction for his sins. As Pope Eugene IV established in his Decretum Pro Instructionia Minorum, satisfaction for sins or penance imposed by confessors on their penitents should consist chiefly in prayers, fasting, and almsgiving. In times past, such anointing was introduced among Eastern Christians. That it was purely ceremonial may be gathered from Canon 74 or the Council of Nicaea, from the Arabic translation, Hard Uin, Collect. Volume 1, p. 492. There it is decreed that if one of the faithful shall live impurely with an unbeliever, he may be reconciled to the church after extended penance, through holy water and the oil of the sick. This was the source of a further abuse. According to Joan Nathanael, De Moribus Graecorum, and Francois Richard, the Expeditione Sacra, rich penitents were often obliged to receive this anointing as penance for their sins, thus this practice was quite profitable for the clergy. Pope Innocent IV opposed this serious error in his letter to the Bishop of Tusculum. Confessors may not impose on anyone any mere anointing in satisfaction for their sins. Sect. 6. The Synod of Nicosia passed a similar decree, Hard Uin, Collect. Volume 7, p. 1114, and we renewed this precept in our